Perek Gimel Mishnah Zayin. We're going to have two cases where it's possible to blow a shofar in a way that's kosher, but you're still not yotzi. So how that's going to work? The first case will be with an echo. Just the same way you can't have a sound other than the shofar sound mixed in when you blow it, okay, the glue sound, so to speak. So you can't have a sound that's a shofar sound plus an echo together. If you hear both of them and you don't hear the shofar part clearly, then you won't be yotzi. Just keep in mind, we said it's not that you didn't hear the echo also, it's you didn't hear the shofar part clearly at all. Just the same way as we have like the trumpets blowing with the shofar before. If you hear shofar clearly plus trumpet, that's going to be fine. The problem is if you're not sure if you heard all shofar, if it was part shofar and part echo, then you're not. It's not going to be good. There's a question about, I don't get into this so much now, but ostensibly it's not considered a kol if you have someone going through like a sound propagating system. So that's, someone couldn't be motzi you for like that through a microphone ostensibly because you don't hear it. You have to hear it. I mean, forget shofar. It goes without saying shofar. But other things also. That's why if you notice, oftentimes misogyny kedushin at weddings are careful about the shofar, about the microphone, that the people who they're being motzi in front of them, like the chasan and kala, shouldn't hear the voice, the bracha through the microphone, which they wouldn't be yotzi for. They're being motzi them in this particular bracha. Saying amen, by the way, wouldn't be a problem, regardless, because you don't actually have to hear the bracha to say amen. All you have to do is know that a bracha was said. So with the Gemara in brachas, it says that in Alexandria, there's this enormous shul, and they used to wave flags to tell people when to say amen. They couldn't hear the bracha, as long as you know. Which is why, by the way, if you're interested, it's going to come out then that when you hear someone say a bracha on the telephone, you should say amen. Even though the telephone is not a bracha, and they couldn't be motzi over the phone, so to speak. That they couldn't do, because you're hearing it. You're not hearing the bracha, you're hearing a telephone. But since the bracha was made now, you'd say amen. As opposed to, say, watching a video, like a movie recording, there you wouldn't say amen because no bracha is being said. It's just something on the screen saying, fine.
What about cues? There's a system of amplification where they use cues. Do you know about that?
I don't know, and I don't know. I don't know, but I'm not familiar with that, and even if I were familiar, I see where this is going, and I don't know the answer to that question. I don't know.
Mikra Magila would be a child.
I think it affects the tetanus nostrum. They can't hear it. They have tubes, which have the effect of the amplifier, but it's natural. It's not an electronic.
I mean, my inclination would be that it's kosher, but I don't know. I don't know.
You never heard the story of the tubes?
No. I know. I think, you know, in the children's playgrounds, you often have these things. You know, there's like a opening and then underground. I used to do it, I've done it without tubes. I've even done it in the science museums. They have, let's call them satellite dishes. They're not satellite dishes, they're just like dishes. The point is, on two sides, and you speak into it, and again, because your sound waves coming out of your mouth, they're concentrated, and they go across the room, and then amplified to the parablock dish and come back into your ear, and it works. I mean, it's hard to know, like, without knowing, seeing the things in sign, which I haven't in this detail, it's hard to know, like, where halacha ends and science begins, or vice versa. In other words, it's obvious when you listen to a recording, you're not hearing sound waves out of someone's mouth. Step one. When you hear someone talk, what you're hearing is sound waves coming out of his mouth. Step two. If it's a recording or a microphone, you're not hearing the sound waves, so it's not him. So it hasn't got a din of a person speaking at all. Step three. Now, your question is, what happens if they are sound waves, obviously, from a person's mouth, but they've been, let's call it, manipulated by, like, some sort of fancy acoustic system?
By natural
means. Right, right. So that's why, my inclination would be, it should be okay, but, like, I'm not 100% certain. It's not certain. I'm not certain if it's got a din of what's called a havara, an echo. Remember, because
for sure.
No. Well, just one second.
Same sound.
What is it? Think for a second. What is an echo? An echo is this. Where echo ends, this begins is something else. Right? An echo. What's happening is the sound waves are bouncing from back along, coming back into your ear, and you're hearing it a second time. So, what's scientifically the difference between the first time and the second time? I understand it's degraded because it's the wall surface isn't ideal acoustic surface. But when I speak. Now go back to the playground situation. Do you understand the playground situation? Or even leave it too, but even maybe more intuitive will be the case of if you've seen this, the science museums, you have essentially two parabolic dishes on each side of the room, like far apart, maybe 100 feet apart. And a person speaks into this thing over here and hears it over there because sound waves are all collected by the parabola and propagated and bounced back. So that sounds like, in a way, like your case here. Now, that sounds like an echo. What is an echo if not that? Right? It's bouncing off the wall and coming back. Just that it's a very high fidelity echo. It sounds like the echo you wouldn't be yotzi. But I'm not sure because do you understand this? Chazal are saying echoes are no good and the original blowing is good. If you think about, without, there's no synthetic amplification here. There's It's a natural. The sound waves are going past the ear the first time, it won't come back to the ear a second time. One's good, one's not good. So you're asking now, what's the din of through a tubing? Answer to the question is, I don't know, because I don't know. Since it's not clear, scientifically, it's not clear to me what the difference is between... I understand, but I'm saying I'm not sure. Do we say, and that's just the same sound, or is that a bit of an echo? Not clear to me, because what's the difference? Yeah, I'm not going to expect that in the halacha l'maaseh. I'm just putting onto you why I'm not. I told you what I know, what I don't know. So you have to be different. You have to differentiate if it came, the sound's coming straight from the shofar into your ear, or if it's bouncing off wall in the meantime.
Right.
The Gemara actually speaks out that the case here is only a case where the person is standing on the outside of the bore. The blower, the Baal Tokeah, is on the inside of the pit or the cave, whatever it is, and the listener is on the outside. In other words, the Gemara says for sure the guy sitting next to the Baal Tokeah inside the cave, even though he may also hear an echo, he knows that was the shofar and that was the echo, in which case he'll be yotzi. The question is, the guy standing on the outside, can he be sure what he heard is the shofar, not the echo? So that being the case, so now, those are the issues on the table. I don't know, I can't pass on my luck on any of this stuff. Now inside, did we say it inside already?
No.
No, okay, fine. Oh, sorry, that was only the first of two cases. That's the first issue. The second issue of the mission is going to be where a person blew properly, but there was a lack of kavana. So we'll see in the mission, we'll get onto this theme heavily into the next Mishnah, that kavana makes all the difference. So even though you heard like it's technically a normal shofar, like... everything was done right, but if there's a lack of kavana, you won't be yotzi. And we'll see it, both the shomea, the listener, and the mashmiya, the baal tokeah, the blower, need to have kavana. That's the issue at the table, so the Mishnah says inside. Anyways, just we'll speak on a second, that the person who's the, if he's a shatz, he's standing in front of the shul blowing for everybody, his stam das is that he's blowing for everybody. He doesn't need to have special extra kavana, because like, what else is he doing there? He's blowing for everybody. As opposed to a person by himself blowing, and there's an on-listener. That's the issue. So now the Mishnah says inside. Mishazain, hatokeya l'soch habor. If a person is blowing within a bor is like a hole in the ground, okay, like a pit. O l'soch hadus. Now dus, the Mefarshim give two possible explanations here. Probably your translation there says cistern, right, if you have a translation. I don't know if that's the right translation here. The way the Mefarshim seem to explain it, the dus is either, essentially it's a bor, but an above ground bor. That's one shot. Or the Rambam says it's like a bor, a pit in the ground, but it has... the way he says it, it's like rocks around it. It's like a wall, like a stone wall, not like plaster. But maybe that means plaster. Yeah, something like that. Okay, so anyways, that's what it is. The point is, it's a concave plate. You know,
cellar.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know which definition that falls into. Anyways, but that, anyways, these are just examples. Anyways, all these cases would be the same thing. It's an echo chamber of some description. Also, a pitas. A pitas is like a big earthenware cleat that he used to trample grapes and pressings. That's the same story. It's an echo chamber again. So, im kol shofar shama, if the person heard the shofar itself, then yatsa, then he's okay. V'im kol havara shama, but if what he heard was the echo, the voice that came back, the echo, which, as I told you, even means, so then lo yatsa, he's not yoti. So again, just repeating what I said before, everyone agrees, inside the pit together, you heard the shofar, you're yotzi. The question is on the edge of the pit, and if he has to hear the whole blast from beginning to end, to be clear that what he heard is shofar, not echo, to be yotzi. Fine. V'chein, and the same goes, so the v'chein here is, here's another way to blow a shofar in a kosher way, but somehow things go wrong and you still not be yotzi. Mishaya over achure beis haknesses. A person was passing by the back of the shul, and inside the shul they're blowing shofar. Oshaya basis samach lebeisak nesus, or he was sitting in his house, which is next door to the shul. There was a guy blowing on the inside. Vashama kol shofar, and he heard the shofar being blown. Okol megillah, or similarly, if you heard the megillah being read. We're bringing the megillah here because we want to bring in the rabbanans also. Okay, so now we've got doraisa and the rabbanans. Im kiven libo, if he was mechaven his heart, we'll define in a second. I mean, kavani, you know what the word means, but we'll define what it means technically. Then yatsa, then he's yotzi. If he had kavana, he's yotzi. Vim lav, if he didn't have kavana, lo yatsa, then he won't be yotzi. Afopi shezeh shama vezeh shama. Even though two guys heard the exact same thing, depends on whether they had kavana or not. Zeh kiven libo vezeh lo kiven libo. And therefore, even one who had kavana is yotzi. The one who didn't have kavana isn't yotzi from the same blast. Okay. So first of all, this kavana business, we're talking about the listener. Go. we're focusing on the listener, but then it goes without saying, I don't know, well, I'm saying it, that the blower also needs to have kavanah to motzi the listener. Which actually, this is a total side point, but like, I don't know. I hear people make a grammatical mistake a lot. I don't know why it bothers me, but it does, so now I'm just on my soapbox for a second. A person is yotzi, and the person who does it for him is motzi him. Motzi takes out, yotzi goes out, if you will. Therefore, if you ask someone to say kiddush for you, you don't say, could you be yotzi me in kiddush? You have to say, could you be motzi me in kiddush? And then he's motzi you, and then you are yotzi. Okay, that's neither here nor there.
It has to be intentional.
I'm making a grammatical point. I was making grammatical points. And you're asking me a halachic question. Ask me again. I didn't. Who has to have intention for what?
The person who wants to associate people has to have intention.
That's for sure.
Even if it's on a Friday night, then he's naturally making
people. Well, that'll probably fall into the exact same category as the shots. In other words, what else is he doing? He's standing in front of the whole table making kiddush. So then, ostensibly, that's his stam das, is to make it for the table. But here's an important point, which people don't realize. Let's say, for example, you're at a kiddush in the shul, and they made the kiddush, you know, well, the food is, and someone already made kiddush, you know, the bracha. So now but you were late. So now, or you're more likely your wife is late, and therefore she says, "Could you make kiddush for me?" Right? So you have to do a kiddush again the second time. So you say, "Sure, fine." So you now make kiddush for her, and then some other dope standing near you thinks, "Oh, I missed kiddush. I'll just listen to his." That's a big problem, because I wasn't having you in mind. I was having my wife in mind, and not my stamdas wasn't to include you also. So, if you know what you're doing in those kind of situations, just have everyone in mind who wants to be yotzi. That's a good thing to be. Everyone in mind who wants to be yotzi, and then you'd be motzi them. But if you didn't, then, or if you, for example, thought you'd just be motzi your wife and kids, and then someone else at the table make his own kiddush, and they don't, they're not yotzi. They have to do it again anyways. Those are the principles on the table. The person saying, the person who's saying the bracha or doing the mitzvah, has to have in mind people who are listening or being yotzi, and then it's a shidduch. If the listener, in the case of the shofar, lacks kavana, he won't be yotzi, even though the blower or the person reading the Megillah had in mind to be motzi him or motzi whoever's listening. Now, what does that kavana mean? So we mentioned this back in Brachas, the idea of mitzvah srichas kavana by Shema, because we said in kivan libo yatza, talking about reading Shema. The sugya, it's mentioned over there in Brachas too, that the sugya does come up a little bit, like they have to resolve it, but the ikar sugya in Shas is here. And this is the two sides of the story. There's a machlokas, a marayim, mitzvah strichas kavana. What does that mean? Whether or not you need to have kavana that you're doing a mitzvah. That's what kavana means in terms of mitzvah strichas kavana. Not like any sort of fancy Arizal up in the clouds business. We're talking about if you had in mind you were doing it as a mitzvah, to be yotzi your chov. So there's actually machlokas. So one amora holds the mitzvahs ain't srichas kavana. In other words, you don't have to have kavana. You did it, and that's done. Done is done. So that being the case here, the amora is going to have to learn the Mishnah some way. So he learned that kivan libo means, this is a little bit of a dachuk on him, but he's going to learn that hearing the shofar and having kavana means that he like made sure that it was a shofar being blown and not a donkey, you know, making a noise or something. Like, in other words, because if you heard a shofar, like or not, you're yotzi. If you don't need kavana, in the mitzvah to hear a shofar, you heard a shofar. What more is there to talk about? That's if mitzvah's ain't shrichas kavana. Then if mitzvah's shrichas kavana, the kavana required is that you have in mind that you're being yotzi a mitzvah. So therefore, that you have to have kavana. Oh, this is the shofar that we're blowing for Rosh Hashanah. So I guess like enough kmina would be, if you didn't realize today's Rosh Hashanah, you thought they're practicing for tomorrow. You think it's like El blowing or something. So then you wouldn't be yotzi because you didn't think, oh, this is my mitzvah now. So that's that. La'alacha, we paskin that become, this is interesting, despite the fact that the Mishnah blobbing them together, Doraisa and Derabanan, we paskin that Doraisa is Srichas Kavana and Derabanan's ain't Srichas Kavana. That's how it's going to bottom line come out. But again, the Kavana is just that you knew you were doing a mitzvah. Okay? Fine. That's that.
Nachmin is on the first day of Rosh Hashanah and the second day of Rosh Hashanah.
Correct. There'll be lots of Nachmin. Exactly. Okay.